Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Or a latte. Yeah, would you raise your hand? We'll give you a card there. You can turn it in downstairs. A little white card like this. One of the ushers will give you a white card. If you turn that in downstairs at the coffee bar, they will give you one of these. Give you a mocha or a latte. And thank you for coming. So, praise team rehearsal. That is Monday, 30th, 7 p.m. We need people to be part of the praise team. If you can sing at all and would like to be one of these people up here, please get in contact with Don. We could use you up here. So we're definitely looking for more people to come up here and join the team. Promises group is Tuesday, and it is Promises and Freedom Fighters from 7 p.m. This is for families that have going through problems with addictions. This is a really good resource to use. And get together and with people that are going through the same things. Church 58, Wednesday. Yeah. Doors open at 6:30. Be here at 6:30 or before that if you're part of the team. Also Wednesday is also all church prayer night. So this is every other Wednesday. So we have there are 2-4 groups, which are second and fourth. And then 1 and 3 is here at the church with all church prayer, okay? So please come and pray. It's a good time to just, bring your grievances, just get together and bring your grievances towards, to the Lord and pray for the things that are going on that we need to pray about, A lot to pray about, and if you don't think so, just turn on the TV. Men's prayer. That's on Thursday morning, 7:30, every Thursday at 7:30 here at the church, right? Or men's and women's, and then women's Bible studies every Thursday at 9 a.m., and that is at our pastor's home with Sibile until further notice. Until it gets warm, then they're going to have it outside at the park. All right, teenagers. Generation Unleashed, February 2nd and 4th. Your $60 is due today, so get that turned in. And then February 12th, we have our Next Step class, and I'm not sure what blue card means, but, blue card. If you want to come to the to the Next Step class, kind of find out what our church is about, and please fill one of these out, and the ushers have those. If you want to raise your hand if you're interested in that. And, you can come to that class. And always like us on Facebook and get your phones out and check in on Facebook. All right.
Thanks, Pastor Mike. I had a beautiful lady give me a gold medal today. Edie gave me some gold medals because she said you always dreamed of winning a gold medal in the Olympics. So thank you, Edie. She's downstairs watching on the TV. So thank you, Edie. This one says pastor on it, and one of them said world champion skier. So it's good. It's actually chocolate, It's even better. You can eat your gold. Hallelujah. We're going to show a video, a testimony video from CBN. Anybody ever watch the 700 Club? They have some amazing testimonies about giving and the transformation of people's lives because of their generosity. So if we can dim the lights and let's get that video rolling.
Living their dream life in Alaska. Jim has a senior position with an oil company, and Ginger is a top-selling realtor. They say their success goes back to giving.
It just seems like the more and more, that we give, the more and more things that happen, the more blessings are returned.
When Jim and Ginger married, he was serving in the Air Force, and she had two children from a previous marriage. Right from the start, their budget was tight. Ginger knew that they should be tithing, but convincing Jim wasn't so easy.
I didn't know anything about tithing. So, yeah, when she first started saying, hey, you know, I want to give, I'm thinking we could use this money for so much other stuff.
Something that God had really laid on my heart that he would always provide.
He finally agreed, and they started tithing faithfully to their church.
There were hard times, and yeah, there were many times that I didn't know how I was going to make it till payday. But you know, that's the miracle of God, is that he can bring blessings out of the worst drought.
It always seemed like it was right when you needed it. It's there. And it was really neat.
As the couple tithed, their income kept increasing. In 1995, Jim retired from the Air Force and got a great job and several promotions in the energy industry. Ginger got her real estate license and was eventually able to start her own company. Over the years, they also developed a passion for helping others. In 2006, the Orems decided to give above their tithe to CBN.
I love to hear the testimonies of what the 700 Club and CBN is doing. Every time you hear of a disaster, a flood, or an earthquake, CBN is there. And I feel so good being a partner, because you can't get on a plane and fly to every disaster. But that is the way I feel like I can be there.
Even though they are financially secure now, the Orems take nothing for granted and say their blessings come from God and their obedience to give.
Give, and whatever he wants you to have, he'll return. The more I give, you know, it seems like the more comes back. I consider us, you know, really blessed. I really do.
If you have that love in your heart and you want to help people, give. He will give, and he will bless us according to his riches and glory.
Amen. Everybody say amen. So I love that, because the first and foremost, they're giving their tithes to their local church, not CBN. The local church where they go to, that's the way God set it up to support that local church. And then above and beyond that, their offerings can come to the local church as well, or they can distribute it to other places as they see fit, as they are led by what God wants to do. And so we've seen over the past 27 years in ministry, 15 here, people's financial lives transformed because of their obedience to tithe and give offerings, literally before our eyes. And it doesn't happen overnight. But throughout the years, we've seen the gradual increase and blessing and promotion from God as people were obedient to give, even in the lean times, trusting God, because it takes faith. Trusting God to give, and trusting that God is going to take care of you, because he is the provider. Amen? Amen. Let's give this morning. If you need an envelope for your giving, the ushers have that. You can give as well on PushPay on your phones, and do that very quickly. There's instructions up on the screen, should be, on how to download that. If you're not, you know, favorable with phones, you can also give online. Right at our website, there's a link to the PushPay online site. If you're not savvy with downloading apps, you can do that as well. You can give cash, you can give check, or you can actually write your debit card on the exterior of the envelope as well, and we will accept that. Say happy birthday to Kara this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't tell you how old she is, but everybody knows anyway, right? So she joined the 50s club with us. So 50s are the new 30s, by the way. So we're blessed. It's good to see Bill in church in Ephrazina, where we prayed for you last week. We're glad you're safe. And God's taking care of your situation, because that's what we prayed for. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. We're talking about the favor of God. You ready, Ethan, to follow me? Because I may move a little bit today. And we want to welcome anybody that's watching live stream on Facebook or through our website. You can download the live stream app on your phone. I think actually it's Larry's birthday, and Larry might be watching us at the beach this morning with Wendy and his group. So happy birthday, Larry, Michelle, Wendy. What's Wendy's husband's name? Donnie. We saw you playing the guitar on Facebook last night. So happy birthday and enjoy the word this morning. Awesome. Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus grew. Everybody say grow. In wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. You can just put your name in there. Let that be your anthem this week, right? Ready? We're going to say it and put your name in there. And then put your name in. Ready? And grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. It's interesting that prior to favor with God and man, there's growth in wisdom. Favor finders, or the growth of favor with God and man, has to do with the continued amount of wisdom that we're open to, and the willingness to grow in that wisdom. That wisdom and that knowledge that we actually not just hear, but we actually apply to our lives. The definition of favor that we shared last week is this: the favor of God is the guarantee of his presence and provision to accomplish his special purpose in and through our lives. So I truly believe biblically that there is a clear pathway to the favor of God. Favor being the grace of God, that undeserved favor, that unmerited, unearned favor. God's favor and the whole gamut of his favor is available to us. It's been made available by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He has provided everything we will ever need, and that all comes through that the grace of God, the grace being the power of God, the grace being the favor of God in our lives. It's available. It's in the atmosphere. It's right there for you to take. It's like, take it. It belongs to you. So how do we get more of it? If it's all been given, how do we access it? How do we walk in not only more favor with God, but how do we also walk in favor with man? And I see not only did Jesus walk in favor with God, but he also walked in favor with man. I think it was directly related to his growth in wisdom and stature. Not because he was God, but because he was willing to grow as a human being, giving up all his God powers on this earth, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Because God doesn't need to grow. He knows everything, right? Jesus grew. It's interesting. That'll blow a lot of people's theology, this whole scripture. That God actually grows. If I look at Proverbs chapter 3, very similar scripture this morning about the favor of God. We had shared this a number of weeks ago, but I want to go back to it, because it's really one of those similar scriptures that you think Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. We have Solomon here teaching his kids. Remember that? We shared about that. And as he's sitting down reading what he probably wrote down to his kids, because the book of Proverbs that he wrote was actually an instruction manual. It was a school book, basically. Keep my company. He would sit down and he'd say, my son, as far as Luke chapter 2, grow in wisdom, grow in knowledge. Don't forget my teachings. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years and bring you peace and prosperity. So the wisdom of God and the growth in wisdom, what are the direct results of that? The direct results are this: long life. Somebody say amen. I'm talking not just long life, existing life. I'm talking about long, healthy life. long, healthy, running, jumping, swimming, playing, skipping, crazy, fun till you're 120 life. Can anybody say amen? Healthy life, free from sickness and disease and the dreaded cancer, which we hate in this church. Can anybody say amen? Come on, somebody say, I hate cancer. Me too. Hate cancer. So long life is the direct result of gaining wisdom. The more wisdom we gain, really what it says is the more wisdom we gain, the more life we can live. The longer life we can live and the better life we can live. So what does that tell us? That it is so important to remain open and teachable all of our lives and to never arrive, never come to that place for the rest of our lives. What does it also say? It says peace. How many would like peace? Peace is a good thing. Peace in our homes, peace in our minds, peace in our workplaces, peace wherever we go. And then the last one is prosperity. Come on, let's talk about money. Everybody say money. Does anybody here like money? You're a liar if you didn't say yes, okay? Okay? Sure we do. Sure, without money you can't do anything. Without money there's no freedom. Without money you can't even rent an apartment. And around here, you know, if you don't have a car, you ain't getting anywhere, right? You're not going to have a job without money. So God promises us these things through this scripture. And then in verse 3, he said, let love and faithfulness never leave you and bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. So what we see here literally is a recipe towards gaining. Recipe is this. Love and faithfulness, which will result to long life, peace, and prosperity, which will result in increased favor with God and with your fellow man. There is a direct pathway to the increase of favor in our lives. Something that we grow in. Something that as we continue to be faithful in what God's asked us to do, he increases. He wants to give us more. I mean, he's given us everything we need. He wants us to receive more. I look at God as a good, good father, don't you? Some call him dad, some call him papa, some call him whatever you call him, good father, heavenly father, whatever your name is. But he's a father in heaven that wants us to have it all. True father wants what fathers do. That's the heart of a true father. You know, father wants their kids to be ultimately successful. You know, you want to see your kids prosper in every area of your lives. You want to see them prosper in their relationships, and you've been praying for their spouses. Anybody out there? Praying for the right spouse. You know, rebuking the wrong boyfriends and girlfriends. You out there? You know, breaking the power of the devil over that relationship in Jesus' name. And you know, Shandai, Shaka, Shaka, Shandai, yes. Get rid of that relationship. Hallelujah. That's the heart of the father. A father wants to see success in his kids. Amen. And you, as a father, including myself, you want to give them everything, but you know that you can't because they're not ready for it. You can pray for $1 million all you want. God's not going to give it to you tomorrow. Because if you can't handle 100, if you can't handle 1,000, the $1 million would literally ruin you. And it would especially ruin your relationship with him, because then you would begin to trust in riches instead of trusting in God. So what does he want us to do? He wants us to open up our hearts and our capacity to receive his favor and his blessings in our life. But first, he's looking for responsibility and trust. You guys out there? If I can't trust my kids with a $2,500 car, I'm certainly not going to go out and buy them a $25,000 car. Are you guys out there? Amen? That doesn't mean they can't have one someday. That doesn't mean their daddy's going to pay for it, right? Maybe. Wouldn't that be nice? We would love to do that. Do things like that for your kids. Because that's our heart. That's what we want. We would love to do that. You know? Love to put a big ribbon on a house someday and drive them up to it and say, here's a home for you. I bought this for you debt-free. Wouldn't that be amazing? Hallelujah. And if that's your dream, you go for it. You pursue it. Because God wants to give you every good thing. Every good thing. As believers, as we move along here, as believers, it is our privilege to renew our mind and begin to think like God. It's not just a right, it's not just a command, it's actually a privilege that we get to change our thinking and change our thoughts and renew our mind towards biblical subjects, like favor, for example. Believing that favor belongs to us, that we don't actually deserve it because, you know, Christ died for it and gave it to us. But even though we don't literally deserve it because of our sin, Christ became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Gives us, and through that righteousness, we now freely. And so what's our job? Our job is to engage in the privilege of renewing our mind to what God has provided for us, who we are in Christ, and how we access those things that God has freely given us. You guys out there? This is deep this morning. Deep. The privilege of renewing our mind. Bill Johnson, Pastor Bill, said this, I cannot afford to have a thought in my head that is not from God. Can't afford it. We, as believers, have the power to change our soul. Our soul meaning this, our will, our ability to make good decisions, the direction of our lives, all of our choices that we make on a regular basis. We can change our thinking and choose what to think. We can choose what to allow in and what not to allow in. We have the ability through the Holy Spirit to recognize the thoughts that aren't from God and that are from God. And either we allow them to affect us or we don't. We have the ability to heal our own past negative, traumatic experiences with the Word of God and with the power of God. And as we get closer to Him, we can recognize the evil attack of the enemy coming towards us. We can resist it. We can cast it down. We can tell it where to go. We have the ability to control this thing up here. Are you out there? There's no excuse. Within the midst of what the soul is, we believe we are a spirit. Soul, and we live in a body. The spirit is the eternal part of us. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions. We can change our feelings because we're not ruled by how we feel. Are you out there? Bad feelings can literally be changed to good ones through the confession of the word and the washing of the water of the word in our lives. I don't allow my feelings to tell me how to feel. I tell myself how I'm going to feel. Because there's many times you don't feel like doing what you know to do. We're not led by our feelings. We're led by the Spirit of God. There's many times you know you need to do something and you don't feel like it. Well, guess what? Feelings, when I wake up this morning and I've got a tough situation that I've got to deal with, I'm not following you because the Spirit of God overrides you. So feelings, you need to line up to what God's will is today. Because I know it's God's will for me to get my backside into that brick building and sit in those pews and to worship Jesus. Come on. Faithfulness increases favor. Yeah, it just does. In those maroon pews, folks. Are you out there? He does. And he's like, man, she's there again. Look at that. Worshiping me. Trustworthy. Look at that offering bucket go by. Putting in that blue bucket again. Hallelujah. And God's up in heaven. He's looking down. He's like, that girl can be trusted. That girl can be trusted. Do you think God thinks like that? Absolutely. Because he said, if you can be trusted with little, you can be trusted with much. So guess what? He's got to be watching. Are you guys dead out there? Hello. Is your heart beating? It's true whether you want to believe it or not, because it's scripture. Changing our feelings. We can cast down imaginations. We can cast down mental pictures, thoughts, and emotions, and we can replace them with good ones. You're not going to have any chance. Now, if you just continually to watch all the crap on TV and all the things on the internet, you're not going to have any chance of renewing your mind if you're not selective as far as what you allow in. Because your meditative ability is huge. God's given you this thing called, and it comes from heaven. It comes when God created you. He's given you this thing called your imagination. And that imagination was supposed to be used for the will of God in your life, to imagine the incredible things that God has given you and the incredible things that he wants you to do. In our imagination, we have got to change our thinking, and we have got to believe God loves me. God favors me. God not only loves me, he likes me. Hallelujah. And God is very fond of me. Amen. My wife and I, we had the privilege of previewing the movie with a bunch of other pastors called The Shack. Anybody read the book? It was amazing. The author was there and had a Q&A about the book. It was incredible. He literally lived in Gresham. Declared bankruptcy, was living in a little one-room apartment with his family, was on the MAX train, and that's where he wrote The Shack. He wrote the book because he had no money to give his kids presents for Christmas and decided he was just going to write a few pages, maybe 6 or 7, his wife said, that'll be good enough, to give to his kids for Christmas. Little did he know, he writes this whole novel, and he went to Home Depot, spent his own money to copy 15 copies of it to give it to his kids and other people for Christmas. Because of all of that effort and what he did, 10 years later today, he has sold over 20 million copies, and now it's a major movie coming out on March 3rd. Literally, God made him a millionaire. You know what Young Gi Cho said? I know how to make millionaire. Stick around here. Stick around in this church. We're going to see some millionaires rise up. Serious. Anybody want it? Be it done to you according to your faith, right? Casting down imaginations. That one big mental topic, the topic of favor, is important. Knowing God loves you, knowing that he's fond of you, which is one of the lines out of the movie. That God does not just love you, that he likes you. He wants to hang out with you. That's one of the things that you see in the movie. You get this revelation of how non-religious God is and how everything that God has ever done from the beginning of the world is built on him wanting to know you personally. That one movie, it's going to change the world. It'll change your thinking towards the Trinity and towards your relationship with God. It's powerful. Powerful. As a father, look in Psalm 84:11. Let's get another picture of God here. As father, God is looking for a foundation of faithfulness and trust. And it says here in Psalm 84:11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Somebody say, no good thing. Come on, somebody say, no good thing. No good thing does he withhold. Come on, ladies, say it, no good thing. Come on, men, you can be louder. Say, no good thing. Come on, somebody shout, no good thing. No good thing does he withhold to those whose walk is blameless. Now you think, blameless? Oh, that's not me. How am I going to walk? God's not looking for perfection. What does blameless literally mean here? What it means is those who are serving him to the best of their ability in the knowledge that they have on a daily basis. Waking up today. I may make mistakes. I may fail. Thank God for his forgiveness. But the question is it possible to live a sin-free life? And I think many times in our churches, we've been told, no, it's not possible. And we kind of lower the standard. I truly believe that it's possible. Truly do. If we put God first, if his word is prominent in our lives, if we learn how to follow the Spirit, I truly believe it's possible. I bet you there's many people in here, you don't sin, you haven't sinned all last week. Maybe all last year. I truly believe that. I think too many times we make excuses and we rely on 1 John 1:9. That's one of our favorite scriptures, you know. Oh, well, if I sin, I got 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me of unrighteousness. You know, and that's good and thank God for his forgiveness. But is it possible for me to live a blameless, sin-free life and me to please my life with God? I truly do believe. I haven't arrived, folks. I'm not telling you I've arrived. But shouldn't that be the goal? Amen? And I don't think it's as hard as we think. I really don't. If we just follow the simple principles that God has set in his word, I mean, he's given us the power of his Spirit to live in us. And what Jesus, who was anointed by the same Spirit, if he was our example and the same Spirit dwells in us and he lived a sin-free life, then is it possible for us? The possibility is there. And I don't think it's a striving thing. I don't think it's a hard thing. I just think it's I love Jesus Christ and I love people. Basically it. Because Jesus said this. When he was asked, out of all the commandments, what are the greatest ones? And his answer was, love yourself. And love people. He said, those two are the greatest commandments. Through those two things, if love is the anthem of your life and rules your life, it is impossible to miss God and to fail. Impossible. What did Proverbs chapter 3 say? It said, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Of your heart. Put them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Remember, the pathway to long life, peace, and prosperity is through love and faithfulness, which results in favor with God and men. I've been looking over my notes for 3 days now, reading it. Even this morning, I get up. And I usually sit down, turn my fireplace on, have some coffee, and I sit down and I read my notes over again. And you want to God? I say, okay, God, through this message today that I have on this paper, what do you want to emphasize to our church this morning? What do you want to get across? How do you want to communicate through me, God, so that we, as a congregation, can move to the next level of your favor? And your righteousness can move to the next level of your blessing in our lives. collectively as a church and individually as families and singles and as individuals, college students, young people, high schoolers. Jesus became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. Positionally in Christ, we are the righteousness of God, and that's how God sees us. He sees us through the blood of Christ. Theologically, that's called imputed righteousness. The question is, how can you believe in imputed righteousness, that this is what Christ did, and still be dying spiritually? But if you read the book of Romans, it's exactly what Paul was wrestling with. If you look at Romans 6, 7, and 8, Paul was struggling with this thing called the flesh, the old man, making statements like, I keep doing this thing over and over again, but I don't want to. Why is this thing controlling me? He even, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, he said this. He said, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Paul was taking a radical stance personally and writing it in a letter through his own personal experience to the Christians in Rome. Remember the book of Romans, written to Christians, written to believers. And so here's Paul struggling himself, being transparent, talking about his own personal testimony and his own struggles and how he overcame them and continued the race that he believed that he won and finished. And flesh, basically live by your feelings and don't really take seriously the renewing of your mind and put God's word prominent first place in your life. If you don't get in the battle and put to death the misdeeds of the body and get serious about it, it's possible to be born again, believe in the Christ imputed righteousness, and be dying spiritually on the inside. Humans put on a good act, especially Christians. We could be the lead in the musical, right? We put on good acts. You know what? God doesn't want that. God wants us to be transparent. Church is about, hey, okay, I messed up. Forgive me. God, this is why we come together. We come together to encourage one another. We come together to encourage you that, hey, you can win the battle of your mind. That you don't need to be ruled by your flesh and your emotions. That you can develop a favor mindset that God loves you and God is fond of you. And you can get up every morning knowing that the favor of God surrounds you in whatever you do and wherever you go. This is an amazing place to exist. It really is. To know that God loves you and that God has no good thing does he want to withhold from you, and to get up every morning thinking that thought, believing that wherever you go, whoever you talk to, whatever you engage in, whatever phone call you make, whatever text you receive, that the favor of God is working on your behalf. Hallelujah. That is exciting. That favor mindset. Favor mindset. Growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. I don't know about you, but that's where Bob Trombe is. Amen? Hallelujah. And favor with God and men. Write that down. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your dashboard. You know, begin to say it over and over and over again. Whenever you hear those thoughts coming from the outside in, because the devil does not want you to get a hold of this morning. Amen? He does not want you to believe that you have favor. He does not want you to believe that you can have peace in your homes. He is attacking the peace in your homes right now. He does not want you to prosper. He does not want you to be a millionaire. He does not want you to be rich. He does not want you to buy that house. He does not want you to buy that car. He does not want you to prosper. T.D. Jakes, he did a whole series on this called Favor Ain't Fair. I don't know about the theological, you know, thing of that, but it was kind of funny, you know. But man, that guy can preach. I mean, he'll inspire you. Just all you can do is turn him on. He's always on go, you know, firing. He has this new television show, a talk show on TV. You see that? But, you know, he was talking about favor ain't fair. Can't even do it, you know. But he goes, you know what? What you need to do is you need to get a big sign and put it on your car and just put favor ain't fair. Ha ha. Put a big sign on your house that says favor ain't fair. Hallelujah. The greatest thing about being a Christian, because theologically I just can't, doesn't make sense in my mind. The greatest thing about this is favor has already been given and 100% of it is available for you and for me. And it's up to us how open we are to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God to increase in favor and blessing. Because guess what? The whole ball of wax is available. The only thing holding us back from walking in that favor that has already been given to us is us, not God. It's already been given. Psalm 5 says this, surely, Lord, you bless righteous. You surround them with your favor like a shield. Get up in the morning. If you're dealing with a battle, you got the shield of favor, which is what? It's the shield of faith. Because we receive nothing from God if not by faith. Amen? My shield of faith is my shield of favor. Favor mindset. Favor mindset. Now, the last thing I want to speak on this morning is this. We see here in the scriptures when God is talking about favor in the Old and the New Testament is this. That it's interesting how it's always paired together that there's favor with God and man. Favor with God and man. Together. It's interesting. We see that in the book of Proverbs. We see that in Luke with Jesus. We also see it in Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn there to verse 46. Acts chapter 2, 46, talking about the disciples. It says, every day they continued to meet together. Somebody say, meet together. More than three people, say, meet together. Thank you. Appreciate that. They met where? In the temple courts. Well, they met in church. Everybody say church. All right. Come on. Then they broke bread. Someone say broke bread. That means they enjoyed one another. How many know Christians, we should enjoy one another? Come on. What does that mean? We should party together. Hello. Come on, we do not know what partying is in the New Testament compared to the Old Testament. They went on weeks with these festivals. We go on for hours, and then we can't wait to get home. Americans are lame, really, lame partiers. Go to Europe, people stay for hours at your home. In my wife's home in Germany, they'll stay for 10, getting tired, still there partying. I just think to myself, is anybody ever going to go home? Getting tired. But you know what? They're full on energy. I remember our wedding lasted from 9 o'clock in the morning till midnight. 15 hours. I tried to get her out of there. Well, that was an Eastern accent there, wasn't it? I tried to get her out of there at 9 o'clock. But my wife said to me, we can't leave yet. My father will be mad at us. I'm thinking, honey, this is our wedding night. And I'm getting tired. Hello. You guys out there? finally at midnight, we're like, okay, we're leaving now. The party's still going on. And they had brought out the fifth thing to eat that would happen throughout the evening. Now it's going to be nuts and peanuts and crackers after the cake and the food and this and the that and the music and the that. And it was a great party and celebration. I'm so tired, right? And I said, come on, we're going to leave. We say our goodbyes and we walk out. And I'm thinking, where's the car? Village. I'm for 15 hours. The car's not, I'm just fed up by this time. You know, you're walking down there, and I approach the car, and it's filled with balloons. I'm thinking, are you serious? Are you serious? Unforgettable, that's what you are. God and man. What's the relationship between God and man concerning this topic of favor? Every day they continue to meet together. This is talking about the church now. In church, in the temple courts, they broke bread. They liked each other in their homes. So they not only met together in a communal place like the church, the temple courts, which they went to every day. They also met in their homes. They fellowshiped together. They opened up their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This is not talking about having communion together. This is talking about roasting. Well, I can't say a pig. These people are Jewish, but you know what I mean. This is it's talking about roasting a lamb. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. I'm talking about having a big fat Greek wedding spit on the front yard. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we're having a party. Music. Let's get together and let's have fun, right? It says, and then what do? They praise God and they worship together. Woo, hallelujah. Now, you can praise God anytime. Amen. Not just three songs during worship. You can praise God in the midst of eating the pig off your spit. Amen? Praise God. They were praising God. And listen, and enjoying the favor of all people. Enjoying. Somebody say out loud, I like people. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love people. I'm going back to Proverbs chapter 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Come on, somebody shout, I like people. Remember daily those who were being saved. Why were people being saved daily? Being born again daily? Why was the church growing? Because they not only saw the miracles taking place and the supernatural, they saw a group of people who loved each other. They liked being with each other. They liked going over their house. They weren't hermits. Amen? They liked people. Here's the scoop. I'm going to say one statement and we're going to close. Come on, Ben. You will never enjoy the increased favor of God in your life without increase in relationships with people. Won't happen. Your favor with God is a direct result of your relationships with people. How you treat them, how you love them. When you want to increase favor in your life, increase your circle of friends and take risk relationally. One of the main attacks that the devil does is because of negative things concerning relationships and bitterness, unforgiveness. He will make the circle of your friends small because you don't want to risk, because you're afraid of being taken advantage of again, or afraid of being hurt. That attack that's happening in your life is a direct attack, and the devil knows it, so he can cause you to live at the current level that you're at concerning the favor, prosperity, peace, and blessings of God. Do you see the correlation? It's not just favor with God. Jesus had God and man. God and man. God and man. What are we called to do? Called to love people. How do we walk blameless? Loving people. How do we enjoy the favor of God? Loving people. Where does the blessings come from? Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Comes through the hands of people. Your prosperity comes through people. Right? Through the relationships that you build, through the people that purchase your goods, the relationships that you build. Do you know that you can expand the prosperity and favor in your life by expanding your friend base? By taking risks relationally? And so true. If you limit yourself to the friends that you have now, you will limit your ability to grow in favor with God and the peace and prosperity that he's already pre-planned for you and given you. What does that mean? That means you're going to have to do something different than you're already doing concerning relationships. Step out. One of the main reasons why I volunteered this year on Mount Hood Ski Patrol is to meet people. It's one of the main reasons. I don't even hardly get to ski. I'm there meeting people. And I actually like being an apprentice because they pair me up with another host, ski patrol guy, and I get to hang out with that guy the whole time. I get to know him. I got to know another guy yesterday named Joe. What did we talk about the whole time? His kids, his life, his story, his struggles. It's me and people. Encouraging people. Loving on people. It's amazing how that all works together. This morning, the whole God and man favor connection, the Holy Spirit specifically spoke to me as I sat on my couch this morning about that. It's incredible. Somebody said, well, I don't want to volunteer in church. Well, just stay where you're at then. Apply to that. I don't want to go to that other group in my business. Well, then just kind of stay where you're at. I don't want to take that new job. Well, just stay where you're at. I don't want to go to that family reunion. Well, just stay where you're at. Sometimes what we think is not spiritual is more spiritual than you think. Because God is involved in every single aspect of our lives every day, and he wants to bestow favor upon us in the midst of it. I can continue to teach on this. This is amazing. I'm like, whew. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm a favor finder, and I want to live with a favor mindset. And every morning I'm going to wake up, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for your favor that surrounds me today. I'm actually looking for it. I'm looking for favor. And what God loves to do is this. He begins to give you favor, and you know that it's God giving you blessing and favor. As a father gives presents to his kids, and as a father, you love to do that. You love the Christmas mornings. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. Open that present up. And the more that relationship is built, and you develop a trust with the Lord, and he begins to trust you, all of a sudden he will open the floodgates of fulfilling your dreams so much faster than you ever could with your own strength and your own energy. See, God's plan is amazing. He will get you further where you need to be in life with him than without him. And the quicker and the sooner that we learn that and we begin to walk that out, there will return an excitement in your faith that you've never had before. Because it is fun and adventurous to serve Jesus. Best thing ever. Best life ever. Ever, right, Brandon? Best life ever. That's a series that he did for the youth. Let's stand up. God, we're favor finders. Come on, raise up your hands and worship him. Favor finders, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, to help us to live and to walk according to your word and according to your command of love. Lord, we don't have to do that in our own love. It says that you birthed your love in us by your spirit, according to Romans 5:5. So we thank you for that. We call on that love on the inside of us. Call on the patience of God. We pray for relational restoration, God, in this house. We thank you, Lord, for relational restoration. We pray for new friendships, new relationships. Help us, God, to get along with people. Help us to be a listener. Help us to love. Help us to give unconditionally. Even if it means that we might get hurt, God, I just thank you, Lord, you'll cover us. I thank you, Lord, you expand our capacity to receive your favor in our lives. And I pray every morning this week and the weeks to follow that we rise up and we declare that we are favor finders, that the favor of God is upon our lives. And I thank you, Lord, you will prosper this house. I thank you, Lord, those that are dealing with hundreds, they'll begin to deal with thousands. Those that are dealing with thousands will begin to deal with 10,000s. Those that are dealing with tens of thousands will begin to deal with millions. And Lord, you through the process, you will trust them because, Lord, they're not taking it upon themselves to buy all the things they need, but it's because they're givers, God. They're supporters of your church. They're supporters of your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, for increase in our lives, God. In every area, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, turn to your neighbor, say, I'm a favor finder. Declare it today. Why don't we just declare this again? And Bob, what's your name? You got to say your name loud. And grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. We should say grows, right? Let's say it one more time. And what's your name? And grows in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man every day, every morning. Let the spirit of favor rest upon you as you go today. Thank you for coming to City Park Church. We'll see you next week or during the week at one of our groups. We love you. Have a great day.